Welcome to our program for today. My name is Roger Pascoe, and this broadcast comes to you from the Institute for Biblical Preaching in Canada. I hope that those of you who listen every week are being blessed by our Bible studies, and if you are not a Christian, I hope that you understand the need for salvation through Jesus Christ and that you'll receive Him as your Savior. We're trusting God to use these messages for your spiritual benefit and for His own glory. Today we're continuing our study in John's Gospel, chapter 15. We covered verses 1 to 3 last time, so we're going to pick it up today at verse 4. So if you have your Bibles there, please open them at John's Gospel, chapter 15, and we'll read from verse 5 to verse 9. "I am the vine," Jesus says, "you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch, and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain or abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain or abide in his love." Well, let's just pray together. Lord, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for your word that is powerful and living and sharper than a two-edged sword. We pray that you'd use it today to challenge our thinking, touch our hearts, and prick our consciences, and change our wills. We pray that we will be open to the ministry of your Holy Spirit to us as we study it together today, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time, in verses 2 to 3, we looked at the topic of fruit bearing. We noticed that some branches bear fruit, other branches do not bear fruit. Now, of course, the branches, if you remember from last week, speak of either true Christians or false Christians, because there are two types of branches, one that is alive and one that is dead. Alive branches are true Christians. They're genuine disciples, and they bear or produce fruit. There are, however, dead branches, which refers to merely professing Christians. They're not true at all. They just take the name of Christ, and they look perhaps externally like Christians, but they bear no fruit in their life. They are not Christians at all. And so in the issue or the topic of fruit bearing, that's the distinction, isn't it? Those who are true Christians bear fruit for God, for the glory of God, for the honor of Christ. And those who do not bear fruit are not Christians at all. They are unfruitful branches. And last time we looked at the end as to what some of that fruit might look like. How do we tell a live branch from a dead branch? By its fruit. How do we tell a true Christian from a false Christian? We do it by their fruit. And we talked about fruit being, in its broadest sense, whatever we do in our life that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, whether that be testifying to others as to his saving grace, whether that is the evidence of holiness that is to be set apart for God, putting out sin from your life, whether it's sharing with others the things that we possess in order that they may see the love of Christ in us, whether it's Christian character, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, and so on. Whether it's good works, works that point others to the Lord, works that show that we are honoring God our Father, or whether it is praise and thanksgiving through the fruit of our lips to God. Those are some areas, and that is not an exhaustive list, but that is some of the areas in which those of us who are genuine Christians bear fruit for God. So, we talked about fruit bearing last time in verses 1 to 3. Today we're going to begin looking at the next topic that Jesus takes up, which is that of abiding or remaining. Abiding in Christ, abiding in Him, remaining in Him. The command is not to produce fruit, but to abide. Now, we are to produce fruit, but that comes as a result of abiding or remaining in Christ. When we are abiding, fruit comes naturally. Fruit is not produced by the branch, but by the vine itself, you see. And so if you're looking at a vine, be it a grapevine or a tomato vine or something that grows on a vine and produces fruit, the fruit itself isn't the product of the branch. It is the product of the branch abiding in the vine. And the fruit comes from the life of the vine that flows through the branch. Now, you'll notice in verses 4 and 5 that this abiding, this remaining, is mutual. His disciples remain in Him and He in them. Let's look first of all at the disciples remaining or abiding in Him. Verse 4 says, "Remain in Me and I in you." That's the mutual abiding. Then he says, "Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me." There is this entire dependence on the vine. The necessity that if you're going to produce fruit, you must be attached in a life-giving way to the vine. And this is realized by not striving to produce fruit, except as it is produced in us as a result of abiding in Him. And so this, you see, talks about relationship. This is nearness of heart. This is a continuing attachment or union with Christ. And that's required in order for the Christian branch, the live branch, the true Christian, to be able to produce fruit for God, spiritual fruit. A branch cannot of itself bear fruit. You see, if you took a branch from a vine, you cut it off from the vine and you put it on the ground, it will never bear any fruit. In fact, when it dies completely, you may not even know what vine it came from, because it will lose its identity. And so it's as we are united with Christ that we have our identity as Christians, and it is in our union with Him that He produces fruit through us. A branch cannot of itself bear fruit. You can't of your own effort produce anything of eternal or genuine spiritual value for God. Without Him, we can do nothing. Look at verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches." That establishes, you see, the relationship. And then he says, "The one who remains in me," or abides in me, "and I in him, produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me." That's the point. We cannot produce any fruit without him. And so it is remaining in him, being attached to him, being united with him, being in continuing union with Christ, that fruit is produced in our lives. Without him, we can do nothing. Outside of a vital, life-giving relationship with Jesus, all you have is false fruit. All you have is plastic fruit, if you will. It's not live, it's not real, it's not genuine at all. It might be something that from a distance looks like it's real. From a distance it looks like it's genuine fruit. But when you draw up close, you can see that it's not living fruit at all. You know, you may have fruit in your house that's made of plastic or some other material. It'll never produce other fruit. It'll never nourish you. You can't eat it. It's dead. And so it is in some people's lives, that the things that they do are not a result of remaining in Christ. It's not a result of fruit that's produced in them because they are Christians. It's just works that they do as human beings, which from a distance may look good, but when you draw up close and you realize that they're not a Christian at all, then what they're doing doesn't bring glory to God. It's not intended to by them because they're not Christians. It doesn't bring glory to God, nor does it have any lasting value. So Jesus says to them, they are to abide, that is the disciples, Christians, are to abide or remain in him, and he remains in them. This is the mutual relationship, the mutual abiding. Us in him, and he in us. And that's vital that we understand that in order to see how our lives can produce fruit for him. And so we enjoy his presence in us, his life in us, his union with us, his abiding in us. This is the strength of his presence that leads to much fruit in our life. What then are the consequences of not abiding? This is verse 6. Let me read it again. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch, and he withers. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. That's the consequence of not abiding in Christ, of not being united with him, of not having spiritual life from him. You'll notice that Jesus does not say here, if you do not abide in me, but he says, if anyone does not abide in me. In other words, he's not referring here to his disciples. He's not referring here to genuine Christians, because they are the true branches, they are abiding in him. He's referring here to false Christians, to false professors who bear no fruit and who do not abide in him. And Jesus says of those false Christians, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. In other words, he's cut off, he's cast out. You see, to abandon Christ is fatal. It leads to utter ruin, as it did in the case of Judas. Judas is an example of one who, for all that time that he had walked with the other disciples, looked like a disciple, acted like a disciple, until the reality of who he was exposed when he betrayed Jesus. And then he went out, because, you see, he had no part with them. He was not genuine, he was not true. The point is that there are branches on the vine that may not have life. Just because a person is a branch doesn't mean that they have life. There are dead branches. There are unfruitful branches. Those branches are cut off. They are separated. They're segregated out. They have no part in the vine. In fact, they even cause the vine to be less fruitful because they're taking up space. They're taking up some of the nourishment that flows from the vine. They need to be cut off. And that's what Jesus says exactly here. What happens to those who are false professors? They do not remain in him. They are thrown aside. They're cut off like a branch, and they wither. That's what happens to a branch when it is no longer attached to the vine. When it's cut off and cast on the ground, it withers up. And the basic difference between branches that are cut off the vine and those branches that remain is the production of fruit. Those that are cut off bear no fruit, produce no fruit. Those that remain bear fruit, and as they are pruned in the disciplining ways of God, as he deals with us as his children, so they bear more fruit, and they bear much fruit. So the characteristic of a true Christian is one who bears fruit for God. Now look what Jesus says to those who are cut off, those who are not real. And the one who does not remain in him is thrown aside like a branch, and he withers, and they gather them together, those dead branches, and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. A dead branch, which is unable to bear fruit, has no permanent place among the redeemed people of God. False professors, false Christians, have no permanent place among the redeemed people of God. And their destiny is removal from the tree, removal from the vine, cut off from the vine, and burned. Not only to be fruitless, you see, but to be burned. Isn't that an awful thought? That throughout their lifetime they may profess to be Christians, but they bear no fruit for God, no lasting fruit that has value for God. And not only do they waste their life, but at the end they're cut off and they're burned. And so it's not just a question of suffering loss that we read about in 1 Corinthians 3:15. It's not a matter of just losing rewards or of not measuring up to the standard. No, it's a matter of being lost. This isn't talking about Christians who are backsliders or who allow sin into their lives or who don't live up to the full potential of the Christian life. It's not speaking about them. It's speaking about those who are lost and who, in the end, will be cut off. What a contrast with a true believer who can say, as Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Is that true in your life, that Christ lives in you? You in him and he in you. And if that is true, you know that for sure. There's no doubt about it in your mind. For the Spirit of God, Romans chapter 8 tells us, witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. How do we know that we're true Christians? We know it because he abides in us and we in him. There is a vital union that can never be severed. We are the branches who are attached to the vine in a vital way, so that the life of the vine flows through us, and that life that flows through us is given evidence in the way we live by bearing fruit for God. So that's the consequence of not abiding, is to be cut off and ultimately to be burned. And in the last day, at the last judgment, those dead branches will be gathered together and they'll be thrown into the fire and burned. What an awful future awaits those who think they're disciples and make it look like they're disciples, but really aren't, because Christ is not in them. They're not abiding in him. So that's the consequence of not abiding in verse 6. But what about the consequences of abiding? What are the consequences of remaining in him? Verses 7 and 8. Let's read them together. If you, now it's not if anyone, as in verse 6, but now it's if you, verse 7, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. If you, that is the disciples to whom he's speaking, abide or remain in me and my words remain in you, that is, if there is this constant life of dependence upon him, if there is this constant life of receiving his words, living a life in fellowship with him, living a life in obedience to his word, learning more about him each day of our lives. If you abide in me and my words abide or remain in you, then, Jesus says, your prayers will be effective. The believer's prayers are effective. They would be able to command resources of divine power, ask what they would, and it would be done for them. Their prayers, you see, in that case, would be according to his will. And when we pray according to his will, he delights to grant us those requests. That's the first consequence. When we're abiding in him, we will pray according to his will, because his word abides in us. We understand his revealed will to us, and we pray intelligently according to that will, and he grants our prayers. So the believer's prayers are effective. The second consequence of abiding or remaining in Christ is that the Father is glorified. Verse 8 says that, my Father is glorified by this. This should be the object of all of our service, is to glorify our Father who is in heaven, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. It says this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Then the third consequence of remaining in Christ is that so you will be my disciples. First, your prayers are effective. Secondly, God the Father is glorified. Thirdly, so you will be my disciples. That is, until you bear fruit, you're not really deserving of the name of disciples. Jesus says in verse 8, "My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples." That's how the Father is glorified, in the production of fruit, spiritual fruit. That brings glory to God the Father. And that proves that you are genuine disciples. Not only is the Father glorified by our remaining in Christ, by our persevering in the Christian faith, by our preservation by the power of God as believers, but also abiding in Christ is the fruit of the reality of our discipleship. Do you ever wonder if you're really a Christian or not? Well, as I said before, the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. So there is that internal assurance, that internal witness of the Spirit that we are children of God. But we also can look to the fruit of our lives and see if there's anything that we've produced that is glorifying to God. And furthermore, have we remained in Christ? Are we faithful to Him? Are we true to Him? Does His life flow through us? Well, what's the conclusion of this then? Abiding in Him results in fruitfulness. It should be as natural as a tree that remains in the soil. Fruit comes naturally, and it's inevitable in a healthy plant. The one who abides in the Word is like a tree planted by the water, in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 3. As the Father loved the Son, so Jesus loves His disciples. Verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love." That's a consequence of abiding in Him. They were to abide in His love, and His love remained in them. We cannot remain in Him without experiencing His love, because those who are abiding in Christ, those who are faithful and true to Him, those who are genuinely His children, into them He pours His love over and over again. It's an unconditional love that He pours upon those who are His children. And so, if you are genuinely a believer, a Christian, that love of Christ is something that you experience in continuous and abundant ways. Look at the assurance that Jesus gives in verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you." That's the assurance that the love of Christ for us is as enduring and as abundant and as constant as the Father's love for His Son. That is a love that could never be broken. That's a love that was eternal. That was a love that was beyond anything that we can measure or imagine. And that love is what characterizes Jesus' love for us. And He says, "Remain in my love." That's the encouragement. That's the exhortation, to remain in the love of Christ. Do you enjoy on a daily basis the love of Christ? Do you know His love shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit? Well, this has been another challenging, hasn't it, study today as to the matter of remaining in Him. And I trust that everyone who's listening to this today will be one whose life is characterized by abiding in Christ and producing fruit that flows from our life in Him. Well, that's all for this week. If you're enjoying this program, please let us know. And please share what you're learning with your family and your friends. Our time together each week seems to go by so quickly, and I really hope that you're enjoying and benefiting from our times together. Until we're together again the next time, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and may the Lord bless you until we're together again on this radio program the next time.